Right. I know in the fire community that is essentially called a barista fire, right?
Yep. Hello, and welcome to Planantius Podcast Future Rich. My name is Barbara Giddy, and I am your host and also a CFP. And for any of our new listeners, that stands for a Certified Financial Planner. And I am here with my guest today, Sophie. Hi, Sophie.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you for coming on the show. So, Sophie, tell us a little bit about yourself. So, I know you had mentioned to me you just binged a bunch of episodes, so you probably know what I'm looking for. So age, relationship status, location, job, income, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am 26 years old, living in Los Angeles, and I've been working as a product researcher for an educational tech company for about a year and a half now, also here in LA, living with my partner out here as well. And I just recently received a promotion, which bumped my pay up from about 84,000 to just shy of 90,000. I'm at 89,500.
Now, so tech, I'm always like interested in what everyone does. So an education tech company, you must have been super busy in 2020, I would think.
Yeah, it was a pretty insane year in 2020. We had no idea exactly what the state of the world, like everybody. We had no idea what the state of the company would be like, but we took on a whole new customer base. So the company is actually flourishing this year.
Yeah, it's really interesting because obviously so many companies and small businesses struggled in 2020, but then there's all these other companies, you know, more tech focused, and, you know, different arenas that, yeah, like you said, flourished during the 2020, which we're still like 2021 doesn't feel that much different right now.
Yeah. I agree. They're blending in together. I keep forgetting anytime someone wishes me a happy new year. I'm like, huh?
It still feels the same. I know. I like woke up on, January 1st and I was like, oh, it feels the same. I was hoping it would feel dramatically different, but it doesn't. Very good. Well, congratulations on the promotion. And it sounds like a super interesting field that you're in. So why don't we talk about, so you're making good income. What's your expenses look like?
Yeah. So my expenses aren't too bad. My partner and I split a, one bedroom out here in LA, for $1,400. So each of us pay, about $730. So pretty cheap for LA.
Yeah. I was gonna say LA, I was expecting it to be more expensive.
Yeah. It's not the best neighborhood, but, it works. And then other than that, I mean, we keep it pretty low on eating out, on groceries. I would say, let's see here, I have my budget. The biggest expense that I have is my car. So car insurance, I'm still paying off, a car loan as well. And then any gas that comes along with it. But other than that, household expenses are quite low.
Okay. And what do you, what's the car? Yeah. And with LA, you have to have a car. Or it makes it significantly easier. I had a friend who lived in LA without a car and took the bus, and she said it was like the bane of her existence.
I live in cities with good public transportation systems, and LA is not one of them.
Not one of them. Yep, exactly. That's what she said. She's from New York, and she's like, I thought that like, this would be fine. And she's like, I have to switch so many buses. It was like taking her forever to get to work. So what is your car expense, like payment, insurance, gas running you approximately?
Yeah. So I set aside about right now 50 for gas a month. It goes up if I need to commute. Right now I'm remote. So, and the car payment itself is only 415 a month, but I've been aggressively paying off that loan. So I've been putting pretty much as much as I can. It's been above 1,000 into it. There's about 3.5 left on it. So I'm hoping to get that paid off in the next like 2 months or so.
Like 3,500.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So you'll probably have that with putting that much towards it. You'll probably have no car payment in the next few months.
Yep. That's the hope.
That's the goal. And then what is the insurance a month?
Insurance, I pay it every 6 months and it's about 600.
Okay. So averaging like 100 a month. Okay. Perfect. Okay, great. And then your other expenses you said are like fairly low, like ballpark, what do you need to live on?
Yeah, we usually do for food probably around the 200 mark. And then let's see, health, I stack away about $100. Any other expenses for myself or for cosmetics or things like that is maybe like 200. That usually ends up rolling over into the next month, especially because we're at home and I don't need to do anything.
I know, right? There has been a lot of savings on that mm-hmm. aspect. Okay, so then besides the rent, and we'll just say insurance is around 100 a month, gas 50, and then like another 500 for food, health, and those sort of things.
Yeah.
What about utilities?
Utilities. Let's see. So our gas bill has been up a bit. I would say ballpark for utilities is maybe 50, 60
a month. Okay, so not too bad. Mm-hmm. And then what about like streaming or anything like that, like internet?
I just picked up a couple new streaming services. Audible is included in that. And I also leech off of the family for some of them. So I would say it averages probably about 25 a month.
Okay, so we'll just round up just to keep it even. So we'll say like another 100 mm-hmm. bucks for utilities, internet, streaming. Okay, so then, yeah, you have a really low budget, right? So we'll just say 600 for all of that, and then mm-hmm. the 700 for the rent, and then we'll just say 150 for insurance and gas once you get that all paid off, you know, you get your mm-hmm. car loan paid off. And then how long do you think you're, because like you'll have to save for another new car at some point. Do you think your car has some life left on it?
Like, yes, definitely. I bought it specifically because I'm like, I'm going to drive you into the ground. So I think it'll last quite a while longer.
Okay, perfect. I wanted just to make sure because you never know.
I have different targeted savings accounts, and one of them is car maintenance. So that has a good amount put away. So if anything comes up.
Perfect. Because that was going to be my next question. I wanted to hear about, so it seems like all in for the month, you're like $1,400, $1,500 after the car loan is paid off. Mm-hmm. So then, and you're making good money. So do you have a 401k? What are you doing about savings?
Yes. So I have a Roth that I put $500 into a month. And then I have a 401k as well, which currently I just dropped it down to my company's match, which is 6%. I was previously putting in $500 into that as well. But I dropped it down so that I could more aggressively pay off my loans.
Perfect. And 6% in the 401k, are you doing the traditional or are you doing Roth?
I'm doing a Roth 401.
Okay. So Roth and then Roth IRA too. Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. And then so you're going to put 6% in, your new salary is 89,000. So you're going to be contributing about 5,340 a year, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would love to bump that up as soon as possible.
And then does the company match? Is there doing, or what, like you said that you bumped it down just to the company match. Are they matching 6% or what are they matching on your 6% contribution?
They're doing 25%
of what you put in. Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. So then they're putting in like $1,300, and then you're putting in 5,340. So the total amount going in with you and your employer is 6,675. Mm-hmm. Great. And then you're doing another $6,000 into the Roth a year.
Yeah.
Lovely. Okay. So, and then do you have student loan debt? Anything else to speak of or?
Unfortunately so.
Did you know that Future Rich offers 3 online classes in partnership with SUNY Ulster? Well, you're in luck. We do. We have our Future Rich Signature course, our Student Loans course, and our brand new Social Security course. All of these classes can be found on our website at www.futurerichpodcast.com.
So my grad school loan, I'm about a year and a half out of grad school. I started the job straight out. There is about 14,000, a little over 14,000 on that loan. And that's at 6.6%. Although right now, all the loans are in forbearance.
Deferred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh. And then my undergrad loans, are at about 6,000 at 4.4%.
Oh, okay. So that's better. Mm-hmm. Okay, so total in loans is about 20,000. So what are you with the car payment? Are you also putting money towards, just so the listeners, what are you netting? And it's going to change a little with the raise, but mm-hmm. what are you netting about a month from your paychecks?
Yeah, so I just received the first paycheck after the raise, and yeah, and so that was $2,500, and so the my benefits are taken out of the first paycheck of the month, so it's a little bit different, but I'm imagining it's going to be just about $5,075.
And as we talked about, once you get that car loan paid off in the next 2 months, your living expenses are about $1,500, we'll just ballpark. So you have $3,500. You'll have, once the car loan is paid, you'll have $3,500. And that, and your net check is after your Roth IRA, but not inclusive of your Roth 401k, but not inclusive of your Roth IRA, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, so then after the Roth IRA, you have Roth IRA contribution, car loan is paid off, and your regular monthly expenses, you have $3,000 left. Mm-hmm. So have you been paying on the student loans during this period where you have that, you know, waiver where they're not charging interest and you don't have to make a payment?
No, I hadn't. I had actually been putting away into an emergency fund.
Mm. Well, I love emergency funds. So that's good news. So how much do you have in your emergency fund?
Yeah. So before I took a bit of a chunk out to pay down the car loan, I had $17,000. I now have $12,000 put away in the emergency fund, which is about 7 months of expenses.
Perfect. Okay, great. Yeah, that's fantastic. 12,000. And so now, okay, so we have, and how much do you have right now in your Roth and your Roth 401k?
Let's see. In my Roth IRA, I have about 6,500, and similar in the 401k as well.
Wonderful. Okay, so then what are you thinking? So once you get, so you're putting all the extra money towards the car loan, right now. Mm-hmm. And what are you putting towards the emergency fund? Are you putting money in there?
Yeah, so I actually stopped when I hit, I think it was like 9 months, and then I decided that I was going to put some of that into the car loan. So right now, not contributing to the emergency fund, I was going to keep it at $12,000.
At $12,000. Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say. So then once you get, so do you feel like you have really $3,000 to play with in your budget at the end of the month, or you will with this raise, or does it not feel like you have that much?
Yeah, it seems like there, it seems like that's pretty accurate.
Okay. So then once you, so basically in like a month, month and a half, you should have the car loan done.
Mm-hmm.
So are you thinking about putting that $3,000 towards the student loans? Because you could get that all done.
Yeah, that's what I was almost going to, so that's something I wanted to ask. I was planning to roll all that into the student loans and be paying off particularly the graduate loan, the one at 6.6%. Yep. I also wanted to ask, so I'm very stable in my job, and mm-hmm. I'll be there for quite a while. So there, I was wondering if it may be more beneficial, because once the loans are paid off, I plan to be maxing out my retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I was wondering if it may be too risky to push an even bigger chunk of that emergency fund towards the student loans to just try to get it down as fast as possible. There is obviously like that sense of by like depleting your emergency fund. So yeah, that was something I wanted to ask.
So the good news is once the car loan is paid off, you looks like you could, based on your budget, you can live on $1,500 a month. Mm-hmm. So let's see. If you took half the emergency fund, right, $6,000. Mm-hmm. And you said you had a car maintenance fund. Is that included in the $12,000?
No. Yeah. Sorry. So I have a couple of different savings accounts. Yeah. The car maintenance is a separate one that I put into.
So what do you have in these other sub savings that are like earmarked for different expenses?
Yeah. I have a couple. So vacation, I have about $800 put away. Car insurance I save up for, with just about $500 there. Car maintenance has about $300, and then a couple of different like tech savings accounts that I'm saving up for.
Okay, so if there was like a worst case scenario and you lost your job,
mm-hmm.
and let's say, because you know how like life works, you would like pay off the student loans and then lose your job,
mm-hmm.
just because like it never goes the way you want it to,
right?
Stuff goes wrong. You actually have more than $12,000 in cash.
Yes.
Okay. So you probably have closer to $13,000 to $14,000 in cash, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me just see. So they might continue to forbear the student loans, right?
Right.
In which case, if they are doing that, I do think we have an opportunity here. So let's see. So your car loan should be paid off, but so we are currently in January. It seems like by March, like in 2 months, you should be done with that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
March 15th, we'll just say. So by August, okay, so if they're going to forbear the loans, which is like on the table now, I think that they're going to extend that. Mm-hmm. Why don't you put the $3,000 a month? Because so right now, what they've done with the loans, it's not accruing any interest. So they're just sitting there, which is right. A window of opportunity. So here's what I'm thinking, because it does make me nervous to like deplete the whole emergency fund just because there's so many uncertainties right now. Mm-hmm. And the company is doing really well, which is good. But to be conservative, because it's not accruing any interest now, maybe you just put that $3,000 into sub savings and you do that for the next 5 months. We'll have to see what they come out with, right? But there's no interest accruing. So you're not worse by having it in savings, right? Because the loans are just paused. Over the next 5 months, which brings you to August, you should be able to save $15,000, right? Mm-hmm. You could then take, at that point, you could borrow the difference, which is $5,000 from your emergency fund, and pay off those loans in full. We just have to see where what's going to happen, right, with the interest. But if it's not making any interest, I wouldn't pay it all off just to hedge yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Because the loan is still going to be worth $20,000 in August if they extend this.
Right.
So I would save it all up. And then that way your emergency fund, because you really have, we'll just say closer to $13,000, because you know, if you lost your job, you wouldn't take the vacation. Mm-hmm. So then you would borrow $5,000 from your emergency fund, which would leave you really with $8,000 in cash. Mm-hmm. And you could pay back that $5,000 you borrowed over 2 months. Mm-hmm.
6 months. Okay. Yeah. I actually love that idea because I dreamed of the day that I could just pay off the student loans in full. So it would be very satisfying to be able to do that in one fell swoop.
And then you're protecting yourself. If God forbid something changes, you haven't paid them off, but then the loans are also not growing. So we just have to see where they are with the pause. It sounds like they're going to push out that pause, which I think is great. And you can just kind of play with the numbers. If they say they're only going to pause it, I don't know, through May, then maybe you change it a little bit and pay off half then and then the rest at the end of the summer, right? But still keeping a decent amount in your emergency fund, somewhere between $6,000 and $8,000, because that, even at $6,000, that's 4 months for you. Mm-hmm. And you really have like a little bit more cash in a way for other things that you could always use if you had to.
Right.
And then once that's done, so that sounds like as long as everything continues swimmingly, like for the rest of the year and you're making this great income and you have low expenses, then, you know, probably by August and then, you know, you catch up on the emergency fund. So October, we'll just say, we'll give a little buffer. Mm-hmm. You have your emergency fund back up, right, to the $12,000 because we only borrowed five, and you have your student loans all paid off. And then what you could do is bump up your 401k.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I did want to ask if we could. So yeah, once we get to that place, because ultimately I would love to be obviously contributing more to the 401k, if not maxing it out. I was trying to think of the next step at that point in terms of, you know, if the Roth IRA is being maxed, if the 401k is higher being maxed, what are the other options? I'm kind of dipping into the FIRE movement, not heavy.
Fun. You know, I feel like this might be a theme this year.
Yeah, definitely not as intense, but I do like the idea of the financial independence, you know, having some freedom, being able to jump jobs or move or, you know, so I was wondering what other opportunities there are for building a retirement or building a good nest egg.
So I think that's a great question. So you're really obviously on top of this. You're going to be in a great position by the end of the year. You get your student loans paid off. You're going to have a great emergency fund. You're going to have a Roth IRA. You're going to have a Roth 401k, right? You're ticking all the boxes. So then from there, you have to decide like, what is it that you want, you know, from your diligent budgeting and saving. So it could be, maybe you like renting and you want to continue renting because 700, right? That's a great number and it allows you more freedom with your budget. So maybe then you save non-retirement monies, which means you would have a third account. So you'd have your Roth IRA, you'd have your Roth 401k, which are going to be earmarked for retirement, ideally. That's the goal, right? That we don't touch those for until mm-hmm. retirement. So then maybe you save non-retirement monies that would allow you to like participate with FIRE, which I erroneously called fiercely independent, not financially independent, on another podcast. Mm-hmm. But then that way you're saving. So maybe you split the difference with yourself. So maybe now you have that $3,000 back in your budget after the loans are paid off and the emergency fund is back to where it needs to be. So maybe another $1,000 a month goes into the 401k and the other $2,000 or wherever you decide your financial goals are, another $2,000 a month goes into just a regular investment account.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then that account, you know, if you did, let's say $2,000 a month, so that's $24,000 a year, right? For 10 years. Or give or take. So you're mm-hmm. you're then my age, which is like 36. So then you should have, with just what you've contributed, $240,000 in there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the market, you know, you have investments, hopefully it grows, the market goes up and down, but maybe at the 10-year mark, we're in a period where we're up. So let's say then maybe it's like $300,000 or something. And you could use that and take some of the gains from your investments off of that to supplement your income.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that sounds excellent. Because I had been playing with the idea. So in regards to home ownership or property ownership, I was thinking once I had maxed out my retirement funds, I was thinking of opening up a brokerage account so that I could start stashing away for whether it be a down payment or whatever I ended up choosing.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, but this sounds like I hadn't thought about using that as potentially just saving for my income if I did decide to retire early.
Yeah, and then that way, I think the goal and the way I like to use the FIRE is more that you have another source of revenue coming in, right? So mm-hmm. then you're not beholden to the job for your lifestyle. You're doing the job because that's the one you want to do, or maybe you do a consulting gig or whatever it is, but you have some more money coming in. And I like the idea of separating it so that we've already, like, over the next 10 years, right, you're doing the Roth IRA every year, you're doing the 401k every year, we have no mm-hmm. debt. So you've already taken care of your retirement. So by the time you get to 36, you have that money already set, and that money will then be for your future retirement self at 65 or 70. And then the brokerage account or that other private money investment account is meant for 36 to that age. Or however you want to use it. Maybe then you say, you know what, I'm going to buy a property and I'm going to buy a two-family property. So I have rental income and I'd rather do mm-hmm. it that way than have an investment, you know, investment income. But you're giving yourself some optionality there.
Right. Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And $300,000, right? Like, I think I always like to use like a normal, you know, not too high the distribution rate, because you'd want the account to earn money. You wouldn't want to deplete it. You'd want to live off what it's making. And some years it'll mm-hmm. make more, and other years it won't make anything, right? That's just how the market works. But if you're looking at $300,000 and you say you're taking 5% out, it's $15,000. So mm-hmm. it's not, you know, it's not a huge amount of money, but your budget is also really low, right? Which I think it always comes down to the budget for them. You either need a lot of money or a lot of time and a low budget, like a manageable mm-hmm. budget. But if you're pulling $15,000 a year out of it, that's going to bring you about $1,200 a month, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we went over your budget and you're living on 14.
Yeah.
15. So that's not a big difference.
Right. I know in the FIRE community, that is essentially called a barista FIRE, right? Where you,
yep.
Where you're partially pulling from your nest egg and you are working, you know, a part-time job or whatever job that you wish. So, yeah.
Right. So to come up with another $500 a month is not a stretch, right? Because mm-hmm. that's like, you need to make $125 a week in your pocket.
Right.
And then that way because sometimes when you see the FIRE information, they like show you the retirement assets in there. And I don't like that because I don't want to jeopardize the future retirement. I think that's like mm-hmm. the golden goose. Like, that should be for retirement. Don't touch that. And then you save for this period of time in your 30s or 40s or 50s where you don't want to have to work as hard.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think that sounds like a good game plan. And then obviously a lot changes. You know, that's the hard part about personal finance, right? We don't know how the tax laws are going to change, or like, for instance, with the pause on the student loans, we don't know exactly what that's going to look like. That's up in the air at the moment. So it's just important to reevaluate. But I think that this is a good plan for now. So get your car loan paid off, get your student loans paid off, keep that emergency fund. And then by the end of this year, you'll be in the position to increase the 401k and then start saving, you know, for an investment account. And whether that buys you a house or you use that to have the barista lifestyle is totally, totally up to you, you know?
Right. Yeah, that sounds amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, thank you for coming on the show. We'll wrap this up for our lovely listeners. And the best place to follow us is going to be on Instagram. And we changed our name. It's now the Future Rich Podcast on Instagram. And you can also check out our online classes, which are in partnership with SUNY Ulster at www.planancial.com.